All right. Y'all want to guess where we are tonight? 1 John, chapter number 4. Right back where we were this morning. You know, I was thinking as we were singing, particularly that song at Calvary. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. One of the best places to learn theology is in the hymn book. Of course, let me say this on the other hand. One of the worst places that you can find theology sometime is in the music industry. Okay. The popular songs today that people sing, the theology is just, it's non-existent. It's terrible. It's unbiblical. In some cases, not all new songs are that way. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But one of the worst places is in the music industry. But one of the best places, not that every hymn is the deepest theological song that you will ever sing, okay? I know people, when they talk about loving hymns, they talk about, you know, like Precious Memories. Well, Precious Memories is not theology. Precious Memories is emotion. I mean, I understand, but it's not. But songs like At Calvary, if you would go back and you would just think about what you're singing, think about what those, don't even sing it, just say it, read it. Man, it's deep. It's a theology class set to music. There are a lot of songs like that. And we're talking about, you know, knowing the truth about God. Your hymn book is one of the places where you can learn a lot about theology. You already know a lot because you've been singing it all your life. Some of you just need to stop and think about what you're singing and realize, man, this is fantastic. Okay, let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As y'all know, I only got through half of verse 1 this morning, but we're gonna finish this up tonight, I promise you, okay? Verse number 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, and therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, and by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Once again, I share a message with you I've entitled, "Test the Spirits." Father, I pray and ask your blessings on the reading of your word tonight. Help me to preach it truthfully and powerfully. And I pray in the name above every name, the name of Jesus, amen. One of the points that I made this morning in my introduction was that one of the reasons why false teachers enjoy so much success is because they have such a large audience. People buy into what false teachers say. I would submit to you tonight that there are a lot of people who are out there that are so desperate for a miracle. They are so desperate for a what they would say, a move of God. They are so desperate for something good in their life that they will listen to false teaching to make them feel better, but even some of them fall for the lie that they can actually buy a miracle. Because whether the false teachers or not want to say it, that's what they're telling you when they tell you to give them their money. If you give your money, God We'll do such and such. I'll say more about that in just a minute. But people are so desperate, they'll listen to anything that sounds good and gives them hope. So there are a lot of people out there that will sit and listen to a lot of nonsense. They don't know the truth, and so they are easily deceived. Sadly, as I said, the church has become like the world in many different ways, and one of them is that the church in many cases has become consumer driven. In other words, you tell us what you want and we will deliver. Do you know there are actually some churches occasionally that will send out questionnaires if they're looking for a pastor? Tell us what you want in a pastor. They do that. What do you want? What are you looking for? Some churches, church plants, people will go out in the community and they will ask lost people, people who do not know the Lord, what are you looking for in a church that would make you come to church if it were there? I wonder what the Apostle Paul would say about such approach. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he said this to Timothy, "I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." He's saying, I'm writing these instructions to you so you'll know how to do church. Which, by the way, is the pillar of truth. It all goes back to truth again. So in other words, what I'm saying is we have instructions as to how church is supposed to be done. Okay? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about a particular style so much as I am telling you that whatever we do, whatever style, it must be grounded in the truth. And we don't go to lost people and ask them what they want. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they need. That's why we're here. To share with them. We have instructions. So, I continue on tonight with a few more things I want to point out from this passage of Scripture. Number one, for tonight, what John tells us is that there is no shortage of false teachers among us. There weren't then and there is not now. Notice what he says at the end of verse 1, many false teachers have gone out into the world. False teachers. Now, one of Satan's weapons is not necessarily denial of Jesus, but deception about Jesus and his work of redemption. Think about how many times in the New Testament we read about false teaching or about warnings, or we read warnings of false teachers. Jesus warned, Paul warned, Peter warned, John warns, Jude warned. Remember, we went back through Jude not too long ago. And you remember, Jude wanted to write him a letter about the common faith, but he couldn't do it. Why? Because of false teaching. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. The word I learned, one of those big words, is the word ubiquitous. It means they're everywhere. All pervasive. You see them everywhere. As we saw earlier in the book, there were teachers of that day who either denied the humanity of Jesus or the deity of Jesus. And listen, the world is full of people like that today. They have either perverted or polluted the life and death of Jesus in their teaching. But we should not be surprised. Why? Because just as the Lord has his teachers, the devil has his teachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. God has his ministers. Satan has his ministers. Satan has his own system of doctrine. God has his doctrine. Satan has his. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, I realize this has been true throughout all of church history, but it is certainly true of the day and age in which we live in. And because of technology, because of access to so many ministries, we hear this stuff all the time. And folks, it's bad. It's bad. Let me give you an example. This comes from one progressive pastor. So interesting, many times whenever I'm preparing a sermon that some article will come to me or some video, something will pop up on my computer that kind of undergirds what I'm trying to say. This is from one progressive pastor. This is what he is preaching. God is gay. God is lesbian. God is non-gender binary. God is straight. God is cisgender. God is black. God is white. God is Middle Eastern. God is Asian. God is differently abled mentally and physically. God is able-bodied. God is you, and you are God because you are a reflection of God's divine image. That's a doctrine of demons. What is scary are these progressive pastors. They have audiences. Now, some would say, I just don't see how anybody can read the Bible and come away with that. That's just ridiculous. What's wrong with them? The Bible clearly tells us what God accepts and what God does not accept. The Bible clearly tells us who God is and who God is not. So what in the world? Well, see, that's the problem that some of us are not getting. As another progressive pastor said, they do not believe, and this, listen, when you talk about progressive Christianity, I know there is not one definition that will cover everyone, okay? I understand because they don't even necessarily know how to define it. It's unbiblical, but it's hard to define because there's so many nuances. But as one progressive pastor said, we do not believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Therefore, the morality that is found in its pages, the morality that is being taught in its pages, is not worth following. That's the battle we're up against, folks. If I mean, I feel it welling up within me even as I preach right now. If you want to know where my passion comes from, this is where my passion comes from. This burdens me. Yes, it angers me. I hope it's a righteous indignation, because I don't want these people to die and go to hell. I want them to see the truth. But I realize many will not. And many people, because they want to hear stuff like this, they will follow suit. But it covers so much more, the false teachings that are out there today. One that I heard the other day as I was listening, this comes from T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes said that preaching in a sermon, he started giving on the level that he wanted to receive. He started giving on the level that he wanted to receive so that God would owe him. He said, giving on that level puts God in debt to you. There are some out there that teach that God was just a man in right relationship with God. That Christ was just a right, he was just a man in right relationship with God. Now I realize some of them trying to do some damage control out there, but I've not been convinced. But they say Jesus was just a man in right relationship with God. That's how he was able to do the miracles. See, if he did them as God, then if he did them as God, that means that you and I could look at him and say, wow, man, that's impressive. But we couldn't do them ourselves. And we're called to do those works. And even greater works than that, which no one has explained to me how you can do a greater work than bring yourself back from the dead. No one has been able to do that except for Jesus. But they say that so that you and I can have hope that we can do great miracles. And so Jesus didn't do them as God. He just did them as a man in right relationship with God. That's some of the things that are being taught. Some teach today that Jesus had to go to hell. And he went to hell and he spent 3 days there. And the devil and the demons jumped up and down on him and beat him for 3 days and tormented him because he had to go pay the devil. The ransom theory. He had to pay the ransom to the devil. Some teach that when Jesus rose from the grave, he became the first born again person ever. He was born again. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's all over the place. And what bothers me as a pastor are those that I believe God has given me charge of. And you understand when I say charge, I'm not your boss, but to lead you and to feed you. It concerns me that some of those might fall for this. And again, like I told you this morning, some might fall for them, but they're going to fall for it with me kicking and screaming with everything that I have. But they're everywhere. And if some of this stuff shocks you, well, good. It should. There are false teachers everywhere. Now, I realize I've given you some extreme examples tonight. I understand that. But they're still there. We're talking about this very thing this afternoon. What does Derek do? He sends me a text. Look at this. From somewhere not far from here. And I said, it sounds like to me they need to be coming to First Newark Baptist Church tonight to hear about false teaching. He said, yes, kind of what I was thinking. That's what happens when you don't know truth. Second thing that I'll share with you tonight is false teachers change the truth about Christ. Okay? We're going to finally move to another verse. Verse 2. Every spirit that confesses, there in verse 2. By this you know the spirit of Christ. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is God. The word confess, as I've told you before, means, the word confess means to say the same thing. So when you confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that means you are confessing what the Bible says. You are confessing what Christ has said about himself. Every person that agrees with Scripture that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. What does the Bible teach about Jesus? That he is the living word of God. John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. He became flesh. Luke chapter 1 verse 31. The Bible teaches that he is one with the Father. John 10 30. The Bible teaches that he is the only begotten Son of God. John 3 16. The Bible teaches that in Christ the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Conversely, in verse number 3, we see that those who do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, they have the spirit of the Antichrist, which is already in the world. And we talked about this a little earlier in the book. But his spirit is already here. I believe there will be a literal Antichrist, but his spirit is already here, and it is alive and well. I know that some people don't like to study that much about prophecy because they say it gets confusing, you know, dragons and seal judgments and bowl judgment and trumpet judgments and false prophets and all these kind of things, and it just gets confusing. And some people say, well, I just don't even worry about it because I'm not going to be here during that tribulation time. I'm going to be gone, and glory to God, if you're saved, yes, you will be. But listen, folks. It does talk about that man of lawlessness, that man that is coming one day. And the reason why this is so important to us today is because his spirit is already here. And so we need to know all that we can about what he teaches or will teach and what is being taught today. Now, I've already told you that confess means to say the same thing as. But it does mean more than intellectual assent. I want to be clear about that. Because it says here in verse 3 that even the demons confess Jesus is Christ. But they are not saved. They know that he is Lord, but they are not saved. The confession that we're talking about here is the confession that means that one has confessed Jesus Christ and Savior and Lord, and he has done it, how? By the Spirit of God. That's why you have to test the spirits. Jesus goes to a synagogue. There's a man that is possessed by a demon. What does the demon say? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. But that does not equal salvation. Only those who have been shown this truth by the Holy Spirit are those who are truly saved. This is why we must be very, 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 very careful when we're leading someone in a sinner's prayer. say this prayer after me. And so someone says that prayer after you, and the only reason they've said it is because you told them to say it. Now, have people gotten saved that way before? Absolutely. But we must be careful. Because I believe the demons would love nothing more, the devil himself would love nothing more than for a person to say a prayer and believe they're saved and all is well. See, that's one of the reasons I believe like books like 1 John's here, so we can go through the book of 1 John and we can take tests to see, okay, this is what I said, but now is this how my life really looks? I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again before I move on. Your pastor will never, never lead someone in a prayer to say this after me. That is not how I do evangelism. That is not how I do it. If someone, I don't care how old they are, I want them individually, personally, to be able to pray to God to say what is on their heart. And by the way, I just believe the Holy Spirit is powerful enough that he can move upon a person to the point where they call out to him personally in faith. I believe that. Again, have people been saved that way? I'm certain. But I don't want them to believe they're saved just because they did what I told them to do. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. So, he's talking about these false teachers that deny who Jesus is. Verse number 3, every spirit that does not confess. John makes it clear that even though it is human teachers who were teaching false doctrine, ultimately is a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:10, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where the real battle lies. Third and finally, the believer should never fall for false teaching. Verse number 4. You are of God, little children. See, there's a little false teaching right there if you're not careful. You are of God, little children. And my wife can write that one down and remind me later. And have overcome them. How have we overcome them? I'm not going to tell you to turn there, but I'm just going to remind you. Go back to chapter 2 where John talks about the anointing that you have, that no one need teach you the truth about who Jesus is. You know it because of the anointing that you have. There's another word that is bantered about all the time. Going back to the text that I got from Derek, that is used wrongly. You have an anointing, John said, to know the truth. You are able to see through the deception of the false teachers when it comes to the foundational truths revealed in Scripture, including the truth of the nature of Christ. And by the way, this is one of those verses that you may hear quoted a lot, kind of ripped out of its context. You know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that means, you know, I'm going to be able to do something great and mighty and powerful. Isn't it interesting that this verse is found in the context of false teachers and being able to overcome the false teachers that would lead you astray? Isn't the Bible fascinating when you actually learn what the context of these passages are? clears up a lot of confusion. That is in you, verse 4. The Spirit dwells within the believer, enabling us to know the truth. Our knowledge of spiritual truth is not because we are so intelligent. Our knowledge comes because we have been given spiritual sight by the Holy Spirit. That's how we know. It comes from the one who is in us. It comes from that anointing that we have. It comes from the Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. Verse 5, they are of the world. That's why the world listens to the false teachers, because they are of the world. I love what Vodi Bakum said when talking about this very subject, about Jesus and who he is. He said, everyone loves Jesus until you define him. Let him simply be a good man, a good example, a good teacher, and no one has any real problem with him. Tell them that he is the Son of God and that he is the only way to heaven, and they turn on you. This is the way of the world. He goes on to say in verse 6, he who is not of God does not hear us. This mirrors the words of Jesus, John chapter 8, verse 47. He who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus says, my sheep, they may get confused. We may get confused sometimes, because let's just be honest with you. Some of the false teachers out there, they're good communicators. They're very engaging. They seem genuine. But they're wolves in sheep's clothing when they do not teach the truth. And again, all they're trying to do is just help you. Make you feel better about yourself. Brighten up your day. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with those things. Please don't hear me saying that I don't want you to be joyful and have a good day. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that's not the overall purpose of the Bible. The overall purpose of the Bible is to tell us of our need for a Savior. And to show us how to get there and to live for him. He goes on to say, by this we know the spirit of error and truth. We know the spirit of error and truth. Again, John tells us that we can know something. Some people would say, well, how can you know? Can you really know? You can't know. John says, yeah, you can know. Yeah, you can know. No believer should fall victim to the false teachers. We should not be afraid to call them out either. If they're teaching wrongly, we ought to call them out. Don't be afraid. But believers should never fall for the deception of a false teacher. Never. Now, I'm pretty set in my ways when it comes to being a young earth creationist. That's what I am. But you know what? I'm not going to break fellowship if somebody disagrees with me over young earth creationism. Now, that's an important subject. I'm a pre-trib, premillennial. But I'm not going to break fellowship over somebody with that. There are lots of things that we don't understand. But folks, when it comes to the nature, when it comes to the person of Christ, there's absolutely no room for compromise whatsoever. And we should never fall for that. So, as I close this out, why is this so important? Why is what I shared with you today so important? Actually, this was part of my message this morning, but I went so long I left it out. Why is this so important? Because false teaching is so deceptive. False teaching is often camouflaged by true teaching. you know, a pastor, a teacher will throw in enough truth in there to get your attention so that you don't really see the faults. It is extremely deceptive. Another reason why this is so important is because false teaching changes who God is. As we've seen here, false teachers taught differently about who Christ was. It changes who Christ is. And in doing so, it leads people to worship the wrong God. And this happens all the time. It tells people that God is something other than what he is, that God will do things other than what he promised. And last, false teaching means that a man or a woman has decided that God's word is not correct as is and needs to be changed. It says God's word needs some help. That's dangerous. That's heretical. This is why this is so near and dear to my heart, because I'm in it all the time, and I see people being led astray. Even places, listen, even in places and churches where I believe people are sincerely trying to help people, they're sincerely trying to assist people and to help people. I'm not saying that everyone that does this is just money grubbing, just. But if you want to sincerely help people, tell them the truth. Again, like I said this morning, stop with all of the emotional driven services and concerts and things where you're just trying to get people worked up into an emotion. Again, I believe you should have emotion. When I sing songs like at Calvary, it evokes emotion in me. But you know where that emotion comes from? The truth. And when we change scripture, we're saying the truth is not good enough. We've got to do something else. And that's wrong. So as I said this morning, I pray that every one of us would have a desire to study the Word of God, that every one of us would have a discipline to study the Word of God. Because I'll be honest with you, there are sometimes the desire just ain't there and the discipline has to kick in. What did Paul say? Discipline yourself to godliness. Know your word so that you're not deceived, that you don't fall victim, and so that you can help others. And by the way, folks, I believe the time has come when, and I've done it to some degree, and I probably am going to do it even more at some point in time in the future. I don't know when. When we need to call more names. We just need to be on. We just need to start naming names of people. I've named some of them, but there's a lot more. We're just at that time where there's so much out there, so much deception. You say you're trying to be it. No, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be biblical. Amen. You're gonna make people mad. As if I already have it. My aim is not to win friends and influence people. My aim is to tell people the truth. Let chips fall where they may. Test the spirits.